I don't know how to start this, if I'm honest. And I've done like 10, maybe 12 different recordings off a script and trying to figure out what feels best. And I've just kind of gone, how about I absolutely wing it? So here we go. Welcome to the Against the Fence podcast. Against the Fence podcast. We're your host, Breezy. Thank you for joining us today. Episode number one. Very excited. Today's episode is speaking to the three individuals that started Against the Fence, JK, Sai, and Ash. So I really hope you guys enjoy this. If you do, don't forget to hit follow, subscribe, or like, depending on where you're watching this, and enjoy. Let's get into the thick of it. So we're just going to start off with, how did you guys first meet?
School?
Yeah, been at school, yeah.
Sai and I had the same form tutor. We met that way.
Can we mention?
Actually, I actually have no idea how we met.
It was RE, wasn't it? Yeah. So basically in RE, me and Jordan would sit at the front. And it was basically, we'd talk about Brock Lesnar, because how we originally first got, started talking was, as most guys our age, we would talk about the WWE.
Just about wrestling.
And then it was literally like, oh, did you like hear about Brock Lesnar going to that organization, UFC? It was like, oh, yeah, it's a big kind of move. And then obviously, because we were big fans of WWE, we saw, obviously, Brock Lesnar was a star in WWE. Go and watch mixed martial arts, go and watch the organization UFC. And that's how we got into the sport of mixed martial arts and how we got into watching the UFC.
Yeah, it was on like over here at the time, it was on, I think highlights were being played on Bravo TV back in the day. Like the logo, the channel with the logo is like a circle with horns on it. Mm. And they used to play like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
And then Sai was also in our RE class as well. So
was that Miss Naquima?
It was Miss Naquima. Yeah, and that's how we all kind of met in one lesson. Obviously, like you just mentioned, you two were in the same actual form class, and then we met in RE, and yeah, we all blew it off from there, really.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, we all blew each other off from there.
So whoa.
Not really. I mean,
return to sex ed real quick. I do remember. I remember Miss Nakum's classes were pretty awesome.
Quality classes.
Everyone hates Chris and all of that. We kind of bonded on some.
It wasn't really an RE class, guys.
It was really
basically... teacher had no idea what she was doing. She would just put on random TV programs for us and we just watched them.
Yeah.
That's meant.
There were like some quality. There was some like RE relevance to whatever was being shown. Like I remember
crazy with it, although she's so kind of like ensemble with all of the subject topics. She wasn't exactly pressing anything particularly that we had to learn or pick up, so it just kind of took at a steady pace. Then we started watching Everyone Hates Chris over the Christmas period and stuff. I don't know, it's not even Christmas related. And then
it was a film like called Color Purple, which was really good, but that had some like a lot of messages in it, like to do with like racism, and then it was quite educational.
Watch the Save the Private Ryan,
good movie.
What, school?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know. I know. It's quite a bit of a...
trying to shoehorn now the relevance, really.
Film
but...
to watch as a kid, but...
I don't think so.
I vaguely remember what. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know.
She used to always call me Mr. Brown, didn't she?
Yes, she did. And that's why we called you. And that's actually quite true. So,
Mr. Brown, all right.
Watch us. And why are you calling Silas Mr. Brown?
It's my last name.
Came from RE. You know what I mean? RE was the birth of all of us. You know what I mean?
It was, I guess so.
What a lesson.
As a unit.
Missed that quite my legend.
She was so good.
She was awesome.
Yeah. And of course, we had the same form tutor, Miss Ridley.
So I still has a crush on to this day. Like, for some reason, found like the best idea or the best time to try and contact her on Facebook back in February when it was my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. Hi. By the way, I'm at Jordan's Arthur's 30th birthday. How are you doing? Like, what?
I just wanted to say thanks for all the amazing lessons you taught me when I was growing up. I thought it was, you're great.
Thank you. Sober as well. This wasn't even like after a few drinks. It was like, I'm just going to randomly message our form tutor, because all of an old form like old school friends. Like,
you guys look so different. But yeah.
Hey, look. If you don't shoot, you won't score, right?
I mean, she's probably about what 40 years old now.
I would gut you when she married.
10 years.
Yeah, 15 years. I remember when she got married. I was like, well, "What'd you do that for? You got such an amazing last name."
And probably got about 5 kids.
Got to see what we could potentially grow into.
So,
okay. I spoke to her for the duration of just like one day to say, "Hey, great catching up." But yeah, always true. Always true. So school.
It's quite obvious that Against the Fence started from a shared passion. Obviously, you guys talking about sitting in front of the classroom, talking about park and stuff like that. But unlike a lot of other people, you've stuck it out and you've turned it into something which is starting to gain some serious momentum, which is called Against the Fence. Can you take me back to that that kind of first conversation? What was going on in your lives that made you kind of go, you know, this is the time to start a channel?
Yeah, it kind of all stemmed from
falling apart of the world as we know it.
Yeah, it was the COVID sort of period. But I mean, Ash decided to kind of look into live streaming a lot of Call of Duty games. Okay. We were playing a lot of Warzone at the time, and he'd set up a Twitch channel.
It's one of the few places that we could meet in that time.
Yeah, we called it Modern AJE, and then we were just doing like the live stream, and then Ash goes one day, "Oh, do you know what? We should just live stream ourselves watching the UFC fights," which was like, "Oh yeah, okay, we'll give that a bash." But prior to that, fast forward maybe a few events prior, where we were like gathering together for, I think, pay-per-view events, and we decided to just kind of like
in our little bubble, as it
was. in our little bubble, of course. We were recording reactions on our phones of the knockouts. Like, we got the Chimaev one knocking out Jared Mershon. And we sort of like were like laughing at it, playing it,
leaping in it,
uploading it on Twitter. and then you kind of fast forward. Well, Ash, we were doing the live streaming for Call of Duty Warzone and all that. And then we did our first live stream of a kind of what was a watch along, which was UFC Fight Night. Holloway versus
Holloway,
Cater?
Yes, I was going to say Holloway versus Cater. I was about to say it was Holloway versus someone. Kelvin.
And then as we were kind of doing it, we were like, okay, we were getting the feel of it, like what the things were missing from it. And then it kind of hit a bit of a light bulb moment for me, because before Si and I moved in together, I was living on by myself. I just split up with my girlfriend at the time. I was living by myself, but I was watching a lot of the United Stan, the Manchester United fan channel. And really what I appreciate about them was the fact that you give the fans a voice, and you know, they're outside the grounds, they're interviewing fans straight after games, and you know, they're doing like these live watch parties, and you know, doing live streams but talking about latest gossip and transfer news and things like that. And the light bulb moment really kind of hit after our first watch along, where it was like, right, okay, let's do this full time, but let's do what they're doing, but
transcend it into
MMA and the world of the UFC. At the time, we looked at how we can kind of do it. Do we do it just for UFC? Do we do it for other organizations as well? But then looking into it, you'd look at however many fight nights there would be. It just wouldn't be humanly possible. After reviewing the first watch along, we kind of sat and realized some of the things that was missing, and we're like, well, if we want to make this content enjoyable for people to watch over a long duration of time, we've kind of got to bring in other elements that are kind of working well in the YouTube MMA space at the moment. And that's your kind of like your Dan Hardys with the in-depth analysis and really kind of listening to former fighters. When fighters are retiring now, they're now going into YouTube and podcasts, content, podcasts and things like that. And for me, it was kind of like, well, how good would it be for fight fans to see that analysis coming from not former fighters, from actual fans? Because to me, if we want to grow as a sport, or the fandom want to grow as a sport, they need to start thinking more technical about what's happening in the fight itself. Instead of viewing the fight as just two guys slugging it out, someone's going to fall, someone's going to tap out, there's going to be a winner. Let's look into things further. What advantages does one fighter have over another? Do you know what I mean? And and how does their styles clash? And that's where we kind of thought, right, in the week, we need to actually watch physical tape on these fighters building up to this event and doing as much notes as possible so we can deliver that to the fight fans.
And where we are now, and I think I was saying to you guys earlier last week, I think it was even on the Monday calls that we have, and that's what's really fantastic about this whole journey. And I'll get into that in a minute, but we'll go right to the end. Talking about where we are now, I was saying, do you know what's really interesting? On paper, and I don't think anyone else in the whole entire UK can probably argue a point stronger than ours, we are the number one fans in the UFC, of the UFC, over here in this country, surely. We watch every single fight. We probably tap into Fight Pass more often than any other fan here in this country as well, because we're always watching fights.
Fight Pass has got my money's worth.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, you've got the fact that we comment on it. We don't miss a single beat on it. We've always got news on it. And we're also sharing conversations with people throughout the week on it as well, constantly 24/7, 365 days a year. I was saying on paper, we effectively fill out what it would look like to be the number one fan over here in the UK for UFC. And then if that's where we are at the moment, we thought we're best place, of course, to have a channel to help other fans stay communicated, but also not watch alone, but watch along in community, because it's really unsociable hours. We're talking at 3 a.m. in the morning, 1 a.m. in the morning. And, you know, we've gone to a few events when they do come over to the UK, not often, but I wish it was more. Then, and we spoke to the fans there and they'll say, oh, we ask them, who do you watch it with? I remember that one guy, Josh, he'll say, oh, I watch my mum at night, or, you know, on my own and that sort of thing. And it's like, wow, well, you don't have to watch alone anymore. You can watch along with a whole community of us.
Yeah,
and it's about bringing that voice.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you used to say, watch along, don't watch alone. And it's like,
it's taking that voice
as well. Just like, obviously, took the words out of my mouth as well, saying about, obviously, the United Stand, because we used to watch a lot of Mark Goldbridge as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically does watch alongs on Man United. And that's how we kind of thought, oh, you know what? We can sort of have this kind of element into what we're going to do. And obviously, you mentioned
value
about,
kind of pays off more so 100%. Over here, because it needs to be more sociable than it is with what we do. Yeah. Football's already sociable because you'd be in a pub watching it with your mates.
Yeah, yeah,
something
exactly,
like this.
Yeah.
Without a community, without something like it, it's really hard to do it sociably.
Of course, since doing this, we've picked up on other people who do the same thing. You know, it's not like we've seen them first and gone, oh, let's do what they're doing. It's never been like that at all. We've kind of been doing it with a clear mission and a clear passion, which is to get people involved as much as possible.
That and voice of the average fan, taking that voice and put it on the platform for everyone to hear and share that as well.
And just to add to that as well, like you mentioned in saying that it's not like we're doing things that others have. I think that we have a unique way of looking at it and a unique way of doing it, because the others that we have seen competitors out there that do what we do, but we bring that something different and we have that voice for the fans.
Yeah,
like you said,
discussing fan opinions, you know, and what other people have got to kind of bring to the table, really.
And just to wrap up on that as well, like we started with where we are now and what it kind of meant going through it, but when it initially started, and what I do love about this is every single week since inception, since we started this, we've always sat down on a Monday, we've always sat as a group and talked and had these meetings.
Yeah.
And in these meetings, it's always about what can we do a little bit better from last week, what can we learn from that, and how can we improve. And we've always had this mantra since then. It's like, as long as we're getting 0.5% better or a little bit better, we're always, we have this confidence that we are going to get there as a channel and be established as we need to be or wanted to be. That's no issue, because we're just constantly going to be putting in those checkpoints and seeing where we're at, where we're learning. And you know, like, it might take a long time. We can probably find more efficient ways to do what we're getting
to,
but we will get there because we constantly have that momentum.
And the most importantly, I get to sit with you boys every single week. You know, hey.
I mean, the environments change. The environments change. We're in different places now, but
We will find a way.
We'll find a way back.
Sure.
It's easy, obviously, to look now where you're at. I think it was quite easy to get here. I mean, you've got a team which is growing. You know, you've got the regular people that are tuning in every single week and having quite in-depth conversation with you guys while you're live. We know that building anything worthwhile comes with its fair share of struggles. It's not always going to be easy. And in those early days before you had the consistent fans and you had the consistent viewers and the consistent people engaging with you, was there ever a moment where you thought, you know, maybe this isn't going to work? And then what kept you from going, actually, no, I want to stick doing this?
No, 100%. Like Si mentioned a second ago about the Monday meetings, I think there was a fair few meetings where I've gone, you know what? All the work, all the effort you put in during the week, and like these boys will know as well, all the sort of tape that you watch on the fighters throughout the whole week. And obviously we all have regular jobs, 9-to-5 jobs, as well as obviously families and things like that. And sometimes it does take a toll, but then it's just a passion for the sport anyway, that will get you there to watch it at the end of the end of the day, and just to keep striving forward. And
you just got to keep working. Got to keep working.
We knew when we first started this, it wasn't going to be a 1-2 year plan. It was going to be a longer journey than we ever thought. Yeah. Not to say that it would stop after 5-6 years. To kind of get established, we knew it would take a while. But yeah, there were some struggles. But yeah, we brought each other up if any of us were down. If you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. And we often have, and it's great because sometimes somebody's motivational batteries are a little bit spent.
Yeah.
And then someone else's are charged and they bring that to the fold. And it's like, I'm getting charged back off of this energy. Thanks.
I'm always charged. That's the secret. Stay charged.
We said charged, JK, not discharged.
Charged.
All the time. We always discharge.
He's not like charging the car at night. He's fully charged, mate. No, 100%.
Really?
You could be spot on. Like the motivation, to be fair, the motivation for this has never stopped, but you do hit some obviously hard days. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. We've hit some hard days where we've put so much effort into one watch along, where we've done a full card watch along, and you think, blooming heck, like we've done all this effort and obviously we've brought like games into a watch along to try and entertain some of the fans as well. We've had special guests in house.
We've had
UFC fights in house to some try highlights, and sort of entertain like the you fans out there. And sometimes after the watch along, you sit there in the Monday meeting and go, boy, is that the only views that we got? Is that all that we've done? And you think, blooming heck, like all the hard work during that week. But yeah, like you said, like Si mentioned and JK said, like you. If one's down, the others sometimes take a positive that you never thought of.
Mm.
And then it just gives you a little bit of confidence that you need to sort of keep striving forward.
Mm. Yeah, it's why it's always good to sit there, obviously, with the Monday meetings and look back at the last week and sit and reflect and pull the positives out of it. Because it could be quite easy if you do spend too much time looking at the numbers to go, hang on.
Mm.
And it gets to you, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
The relationship between creators and audience is always an interesting one, particularly with a channel set up the way that you guys have set it up as a fan channel. And it's like an unspoken collaboration almost, where the fans play a huge role in shaping what this channel becomes. Was there ever a moment that you've had like kind of some fan feedback that kind of made you go, wow, like actually we're creating something like bigger than ourselves here? Have you had that moment?
Yeah, no, there has been a few times.
A couple.
Yeah, there's been some good comments. One guy, Lennon, a guy called Lennon, actually, we kind of spoke with. We met through Twitter, actually, and we got chatting to him. We met him online. We had a face-to-face sort of call with him. He wanted to give us some kind of feedback and some advice as well in terms of like a marketing world.
Yeah.
And Si and I even like met up with him when he visited in London. we might be meeting him again in a few weeks, actually, but he kind of sat us down and was really sort of brought it home in terms of like what we're doing and the hard work that's getting put in and that, and it yeah it does
this is why we love it as well, because once we get the giggles as well,
you're all right,
me and Si will just go. But no, carry on, sorry,
like that was the level of conversations we're having with each other.
But in terms of like specifics, I can't actually
I can add to that as well, though. You know, the moments when we kind of feel like this is bigger than what we thought it would ever be. One of the most recent examples of it, and I've seen it in a few cases, tends to be in those face-to-face scenarios where we are at the UFC events. It was at 305 lately up in Manchester. And 304, sorry. And then what happened was, as I was walking down the queue to go into the venue, you heard people on the other side whispering, "It's ATF." They said, "It's ATF," and there's ATF. I remember just picking it up with my ears and walked past. I mentioned to you guys, like, you hear people out there just saying, "Look, it's ATF." Like,
they might be people that we've already met before. Who knows? You know,
but you just kind of filled out this feel the momentum going, and we was at an event as well with was it Michael Bisping? I think one of his talk things. And anyway, even earlier when it was back in July, back at the O2 with the UFC, some people asked us to have a picture of us in front of the UFC sign. And, you know, all of a sudden it kind of feels like, wow, this is getting a little bit bigger than I thought. And you know, people are just pre-anticipating, you know, I guess the success of the channel. And it's not, whilst it's not necessarily reflect exactly where we are at the moment, it kind of does show a mirror to or a reflection of where they might think we could be going in the future. Mm. And you can almost pick up on that and feel a little bit charged and motivated.
No, 100%. Another key one who's actually very close to us now is Teague. Like before, obviously, he came on board of us, like the messages that he would say that you guys are doing like an amazing job, like just keep it up, like the things that you're seeing, you're not going to, sometimes you may not see the things that are actually happening, but you're actually doing a very good thing, just keep it up. And yeah, just little things like that, it does touch base. Yeah.
Right. I talk about our proudest moment, because I know it's kind of side from like, in terms of feedback, best feedback wise from thing, but
yeah, 100%. Yeah,
what's also got us our a lot of enjoyment from doing this channel was probably back when we was at UFC, what was it UFC 284 in London. There was a guy online called Kwani who has been in our chats before. He's in our Discord, got talking to us, and he kind of messaged us and was like, hey, I'm in London, I want to hang out with you guys, can you know, are you around? And we said yeah sure, come down to the O2, we're gonna head into the weigh-ins, the Q&A's or whatever. And he came and we found us, and then he said, oh, I'm here, I was meant to go to the event and meant to pick up a ticket, but the person's let me down and kind of screwed me over. And we're like, ah, man, that kind of sucks, you know, the fact you've traveled all of this way for kind of nothing, but you feel free to hang out with us, could probably come back to ours, watch the fights tomorrow night, that sort of thing.
In hindsight, it does sound a bit dangerous, doesn't it?
It does, a little bit, just offering your place out to random strangers online. But, you know, we were just kind of wanting to do the right thing and help him out in little ways. And this kind of where you come into the breezy, to this part of the story, because you was at a DJ set with Dominic Cruz in the car park that late in that night.
That sounds even weirder.
That sounds even weirder.
It does, doesn't it? Where you won tickets for the event, did you not?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy that. Yeah, me, Angus, there was a few other people as well there, weren't there? Who was the who was that other kid? Was
Kay.
Kajo. Karen.
That's it.
Yeah.
Kajo, that's it.
Yeah. Kajo. And legend. Connecting you guys, because Kwani was like, wanted to stick around, he wanted to stay out, and we were like, wow, why didn't you go with these guys then, all together?
Bear in mind, we're all hanging out, by the way. So obviously, the people that we've sort of been hanging around with this whole day have been people that we've spoke to from the, like JK mentioned, in our YouTube chat. Yeah. We've got a Discord. We've all been talking about this pre-UFC 284.
We all gathered these people together because of the channel.
And it's just mad to think that all of us, that we've never seen each other before, we've all like been talking through Discord and chat, and we've all sort of met outside the O2 to sort of hang out and just enjoy the experience, because obviously there was a few little events there, meet and greets and things like that.
Yeah, it's not the first time this happened, is it?
You were outside the DJ set of Dominic Cruz.
Well, I was just going to add as well, it wasn't the first time that's happened either, because I think earlier the year prior, someone else was hanging out with us as well. As
yeah, saw different. It wasn't as good also as this, though. It wasn't as good as this, though. There's not, that one wasn't because of us. This particular story was the fact that Breezy had two tickets and someone needed to go with him.
Yeah.
And you kind of offered them to us, didn't you?
Yeah, I was, I'd won them, and I was a bit like,
he's like, whatever, one of yous, you know, does anyone want to come?
Mad. So you won a raffle that was there, and you won two tickets to the event. That's mad.
And the choices were go to the event or come back to ATFs.
And I obviously went to the event.
Angus came back to ours. You guys went on to the event.
I mean, Angus was close to claiming the tickets. I mean, they were offered. you know, for me, it was like, we've got to run the channel. That's kind of main priority. Of course, that, I would have loved to have gone to this.
It's mad that we're turning down the tickets because we wanted to run the channel. Like, that's the commitment that we have to the channel. We could have easily had tickets to the event. And then,
And it was all in your kind of choice, really. I wanted to kind of push and say, look, you should really take Kwani. But then I didn't want to be the one to make the decision for you because you won the tickets.
Yeah, no, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you kind of then said, oh, I think I should take Kwani. And I was like,
yeah.
Did I go all right, though? Kwani, did he just like ditch you at the event or you guys did stick together?
No, we stuck together. I've got quite a funny video when there, and I've brought it up to him a few times on X, Twitter, where Bruce Buffer's doing the announcement for the decision against Usman. And, Bruce Buffer goes, and then you hear Kwani go, no, and he goes, still, and everyone goes, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's good.
But I mean, it's the fact that that kind of moment, the fact he was able to go because of hanging out with us a lot, really, was pretty special.
If he didn't message us and sort of try and hang out with us, he could have come down to London, maybe not got nothing. But yeah, it was kind of definitely a proud moment of obviously hanging around with us. Another proud moment, I know it's a bit, it's not a lame one, but it was just obviously when we reached our first 1,000 subscribers.
That was cool.
I know every sort of little milestone you kind of remember, it was just like the excitement of getting to 1,000. You know what I mean? Every little sort of step counts.
Yeah, I remember that one too.
The funniest point of that is JK popping the champagne.
That's still actually...
have you seen the video to that, Breezy?
I don't think I have, you know.
We'll have to put this in post-edit or something, but like JK popping the champagne bottle, he's just like, unravel it. Sorry, having a chat. And then, boom!
It always puts a hole through two floors of the house.
Everyone just like jumps back at the sound of this popping champagne bowl.
And there's like champagne everywhere. It was such a funny...
It was best moments.
What are you doing?
Yeah. It was in the best moments of 2022. So if you want to check it out, YouTube channel there. Yeah. ATF Best Bits 2022. Clips in there, and that was probably
I'll interrupt you there as well. Another obviously proud moment. I don't know if it's obviously not for these boys, but obviously a proud moment for me. So I grew up obviously watching Frankie Edgar. I'd message this guy constantly. Like, you know, his fans, you would message your favorite fighter, say hello, we'll try and get a follow back. And we see it on Twitter at X, we see it daily. That they would try and get, oh, could you follow me back? Obviously, I was never kind of that beggy, but I would message Frankie probably quite often.
More than his mum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll check up with him more than I would my mum. You know what I mean? And nothing come to a light. And then obviously, we started the channel, and then we got a little bit of a following. And then I randomly messaged him, would you like to jump on the channel? And I got a message back, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, I thought these boys were winding up making a fake Frankie Edgar account, and she just messaged me.
Yep, did it for 3 years, got a blue tick, tricked everyone I posted off.
To think he replied to me and then jumped on a channel, that was probably the best moment that I've had on the channel. Just speaking to the idol, man.
I remember that moment very well because we had something at that point, Fighter Q&A. We still do Fighter Q&As. I was thinking, well, who's going to run this one? And we thought, obviously, it's got to be Ash. We have to put him in the seat. The way we tend to do it is we're quite different from most people who question other fighters because it's like one-on-one in most cases. But we tend to have quite a dynamic on our side as well between presenters asking questions and bouncing off each other. And then we have a game, and we do love a game.
Yeah.
And we just thought, you know what, it would be great to put Ash in a situation. We're teasing them all week, obviously, as boys do. It's like, you know, don't get a boner underneath the table while you're talking to Frankie, because we know you probably will be. but it was an incredible experience to watch and see, to produce and just to see that happen. You know,
it was
super cool. And I would say, you know, if I was to talk about proud moments, I'd second that one. And also just how digitally we are a home for UFC fans, like all across the world. But more on what JK's story just was, like, it just points that we are home from here too, like welcoming open arms. Mm-hmm. When I said that point earlier, like, it wasn't the only time that you got free tickets to the UFC for someone who was hanging out with us. The time before, we went to see Michael Chandler, had this great banter with him. The other guy who was close to the entourage, I think his name was Josh as well, but he was part of the conversation. He came out moments behind saying, he just gave me free tickets.
Yeah, that was nothing to do with us though. No, we just claimed it though. We were just in the line talking to him the whole time, and then he was behind us.
literally then, one person behind JK. Yeah. So if JK would have let him go through for any persona.
No, it wasn't the case of his current position in the line. It was that was why Michael Janot saw him, asked him a couple of questions and gave him a ticket. But the guy was a great absolute vibe. But we were just a home for people. So we was having a conversation with him beforehand, afterwards as well, and in close proximity to that kind of energy. That I thought was brilliant.
In the process of creating Against the Fence, you've not just grown the channel, I think you've also grown yourselves as individuals. What do you think is the biggest way, and this one goes to, like, we'll do it going along the line, but what's the biggest way you think each of you has individually changed, and you can comment about each other as well, since starting Against the Fence?
Well, it's difficult, really.
I reckon there's still a long ways in which I can improve and grow, to be fair.
I've got one that's straight to mind, and JK will 1,000,000% agree with me as well.
Go on.
Is just the way... So when we first originally watched the sport of MMA and obviously the organisation UFC, like, Si was like a novice, didn't really know about MMA.
True, actually.
Didn't know anything. And like, do you know when you sat at a pub?
Still doesn't. Yeah.
Do you know when you're
you understand
pub,
the question, right?
Watching football, yeah.
And
like, it's just one of them to watch him have analysis as well. Sometimes when we do, obviously, breakdowns and
just got to get a ball in the goal.
And he's just watch him have breakdowns. And sometimes when a fight's happening and someone's doing like a back take or things like that, and to listen to him sometimes from like someone that didn't know the sport. To listen to his analysis, I have to applaud
it's sometimes.
Getting
it's getting better. I mean, he's moved on from, why didn't you just knock him out?
There's probably another proud moment.
Yeah.
Because obviously me and JK watched it for a good couple of years before we entered signs of the world of mixed martial arts. And yeah, obviously in the short period of time we were doing the channel, 3-4 years, he has come leaps and bounds, and when he has his analysis, you can't knock it.
Just so you know, I did watch UFC. I was just as casual as they come. So I would just watch the fighters I like. So it was like Izzy, as McGregor. I was like the person who, I guess you could probably say the person who watched the World Cup whenever England's playing in the World Cup, and that's about it. No, just the big fights.
I knew
of it. But it's
casual's the word they call it.
But yeah, we've certainly come a long way. Digesting all that content as well. You start finding yourself now having that great fight analysis when you could probably, when someone goes to the corner, you get to a level where you can say that was great corner advice, or that was toilet corner advice. What's he doing? Yeah. Why is he not telling him about this, that, and so on? But that's the kind of level you kind of get to after watching every day.
Yeah. Have you got anything?
It's quite difficult, really, especially when you're in the week by week sort of process and you're that cog that kind of keeps things moving. Mm-hmm. Maybe might be to do with like the overall planning and the managing of not the channel alone, but a lot of the fighter Q&As and things like that. Some of the like games that we've kind of come up with for fighters, I think, have been pretty impressive.
I would actually say
a lot of actually things.
I think Jordan's improved on actually
everything. Everything, probably. I mean, we've all improved about everything. It's just every aspect.
I mean, his ego is as big as ever. Well, that head. Mate. No, but I would have to say, like, I do think that Jordan's improved in a lot of ways where I might look at some of the content from what he's edited up and clipped up now, and it's just fantastic. It's really good. I think I said recently that I like the thumbnails he's doing, because when we first started out doing the channel, we kind of fell into our roles. We never really had a definition of, like, all right, I'm going to do this, you're going to do that, and you're going to do that. We kind of continued with the same dream of building the best UFC fan channel this side of the pond. And then we kind of fell into what we were good at. Ash was really good at reaching out to fighters or messaging people and getting engagement with the fans. JK was always like the marketing knowledge side of things. And then the voice of the channel being like that vocally. And then for me, it was like less so much the vocals, but more so like the visuals. It was developing what you see on the screen rather than what you hear through the channel, sort of marketing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then that was kind of how we went forward to things. And we always put content as first. And so what that means is sometimes it does fall on JK to do some of the edits and the thumbnails. And I got to say that they come leaps and bounds. Like, over time, you learn new techniques and you do improve on stuff.
Just got to put in the work. That's all it is. That's all it is. Just keep putting in the work.
Can it say for me? Or...
pronunciations are getting a bit better, you know. Fire pronunciations and names. I mean, it's just,
But no, just an overall one would be just where we are now. If you, I mean, like you said before in previous questions, like to have consistent people come in and to know that we have done that, that's just like another sort of thing.
But one thing I think we do need to realise is we're not even started yet.
No,
not
100%.
Exactly. Not even got the feet off the ground yet. So there's much, much more to come.
Yeah. There's so much more. Let's feed off of that, right? And then we'll take the gloves off for a second. We'll talk about some dream scenarios then looking forward. If there were no limits, money, time, resources, whatever, no limits to any of that, what would the ultimate version of Against the Fence look like? And what's the wildest thing you'd want to do with the channel if the sky was the limit?
We'd be right there in Vegas every single week.
Yeah.
We'd be at every single event. We'd be basically pretty much doing what Nina Drama's doing. There's no doubt about that. The fact that she's on the doorstep gives her so much more access to kind of come up with these ideas. All ideas that she does do are amazing, but I do think they're ideas we probably would have thought of ourselves.
I don't know about the Tom Aspinall question, but...
No.
Maybe not. All right, yeah, maybe not a play on sort of those things. I mean, not just to... I'm not discrediting Nina Drama at all. I think what she's doing is absolutely incredible and amazing.
Yeah.
Would we also have a fashion shoot with our clothes off as well in the same way? Would we also have that?
If it got me there,
probably. Yeah. I mean, exactly as she is.
Bring it down.
Our own version. I would say like we would, I really like the idea of doing something new and bringing something new. I'd take the very core values of what we are and I'd probably have that on steroids. So it would probably imagine without that price cap, having our own production team around the UFC.
I'm doing game shows, like proper game
recording
shows.
Recording content with the fighters and in their training in our environments, but effectively being that voice of the fan, but within the context with full access to the UFC and the fighters and stuff too. So I do feel like it would be think embedded, think the presenters, think kind of mash between that, and then also just a chance to get fans to have that feel a little bit closer to the game.
Probably give fans the opportunity to have their dreams come true as well. You know, like meeting one of their favorite fighters for the same time. You know, things like that that we could introduce.
Exactly. Do prize giveaways like prize draws where like a viewer could come out to Vegas with us and do this and do that. But yeah, the main thing for me to sort of just gel into what you just mentioned is have a full production team. To do some of the things that, well, I know we do them, but like just to sort of
on a higher level, sort of thing of close access.
And JK said, I'd love to just be out there in Vegas, like you said, in the media and just be around that fight week. I would love to just be around that because being around that fight week is something special.
Yeah.
And obviously, we unexperienced it over here in the UK. Obviously, there's times where we may get time to go because out to like the European places and things like that. But it's just, again, for us having 9-to-5 jobs, it's a little bit difficult,
it's getting to a point where we can move on to the 9-to-5 jobs, do this full time, but only focusing on the planning of the content and delivering of the content.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the behind the scenes stuff that, you know,
you don't see
is a lot of the things we're doing ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's constantly week in, week out. And, you know, that does saturate the amount of good stuff that we could.
100%. You know, I mean, we sacrifice our weekends. Like what I'm about to go and do not in a minute, but like what I do, like especially for the 3M cards. I'm going to go straight from here to go and take my boy football. You know what I mean? Like the sacrifices.
Well, you still can have that anyway.
Like, yeah, very.
Just, regardless,
I'm just simply saying, like
this is
sleep. Obviously, if I don't have a nap, like later on, like if we don't have naps before an event, sometimes it's
back to back. Bit of the post.
We definitely do it for obviously you, the fans. But I'm just saying another scenario that happens for me is if I don't sleep, then, you know what I mean? I'm straight out the door and taking a boy.
We're going to Vegas one day. You know what I mean? We'll get there one day.
Not many kids, you know what I mean? I'm also a coach for a football team, if you didn't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he gives the same corner advice to them.
Yeah, exactly. When they come in the corner, say, listen, mate, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Listen, mate, take down, mate. Don't take none of it. Mate.
Sweep the legs.
You barge, make sure when you grab the ankle, mate, you slap it, right?
Right. Two more questions, and we'll wrap this up. Yeah,
yeah? Go on.
Right. Obviously, you all started as fans, just like the people you follow now. But now you're on the other side of the fence, as creators with your own audience. How has that changed the way that you view the things you originally fell in love with as a fan?
Ooh. Fantastic.
That's a good question.
Ooh. Who do you want to go to first, Breezy?
Let's go with you, Si.
Right, okay. How has it changed?
Well, you've got to watch, make sure you watch or you're available for every single card.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cards is difficult.
I'd sort of say when you're watching a sport, obviously, don't get me wrong, obviously, we are watching the fights, but again, it's just having that tendency of making sure the chat is okay. And obviously, we're being good enough for them and attending to them. Like, obviously, JK is always making sure and reading out comments and things like that.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of channels out there. Don't get me wrong. We will remember the day oneers and things like that, but. Like, I'd love for the chat to just be flooded one day, and you know, I mean, we'll only be able to read out super chats.
Yeah,
but obviously,
yeah.
if we see like the guys that that have been the day oneers and things like that, of course we'll have time for them and things like that.
Yeah, and it's easy when you're a fan. Life's a bit easier when you just got to consume the content.
Yeah,
and you're on that side of that fence, and it's roses and it's sweet, and it's just entertainment after entertainment after entertainment. Yeah. You do see the ugly sides on the other side of that fence. You do. You see the grafting, the grinding, but you also get the reward of being able to feed those who are consuming, and that I find is also what's as rewarding as creating the content. It's just having other people. Feed, enjoy it, and just get those amazing feedback from it. It does encourage you to keep going. Mm-hmm. When you hear people say, like, you know, what you guys are doing is fantastic. Yeah. We had people commenting to the UFC when the last time I was in London saying, get these guys in the media.
Want us
go a bit further. And it's remarkable, it's encouraging. And I feel like, it's a bit harder, but you do have other ways of recharging yourself of people's energy.
Yeah, I couldn't put it back myself, to be honest.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think I want to take up one moment quickly just to say thanks for giving me this opportunity to do this. Because one of the things that like is so appealing for me doing this is the opportunity to speak to people that I'm genuinely interested in and have that time to ask some questions. Not only that I think people are going to appreciate to listen to, but I also want to know about them. But then what they don't see is like the amount of time I've spent trying to think of the questions, which I think are going to get the best responses. And then also the amount of time trying to feed into people and the amount of messages I've sent out in the past 3 weeks to try and get people to come so I can ask them those questions. And it's quite stressful because I've got a 9-to-5 job, I've got kids. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you've then got to do all this online stuff and then mix it all together. And people don't really realize that actually that can be quite stressful.
Welcome to our world, brother.
hopefully I'm not circling back. Hopefully I'm not circling back too far, but your prior question of what you're proud of, this would be that, you know, I'm proud of you, Breezy. I'm actually really proud. And I thought the guys here on the panel could say the exact same thing, 100%. That you had this idea and this drive. And, you know, when it comes to these kind of initiatives, it's really just do it. And we'll fall through the mistakes and we'll learn from it and grow from it. But some of the questions you've had already on this, it's just been absolutely incredible. Very well placed.
It's
super confident in
when you have this in your head. Because obviously I mentioned something along the lines of doing this or doing an extra video, and it's all good planning it and prepping it. But like you just mentioned there, having a time to actually record it. Like
the ideas are great.
When you're obviously doing your 9-to-5 job and you've got families, obviously I'm not you, mate. I've got you don't have 4 children, but I'm just saying.
you just try,
you know what I mean? I'm just, you know what I mean?
It's
stressful, mate. And to try and obviously have the time away from them now, and like you said, it's hard, but we will get through this together, sunshine.
Absolutely.
Encouraging.
Right, before we wrap this up, one of the questions I quite like to ask, what's one thing that you'd want your fans or anyone out there thinking about starting something of their own similar to this? What's a word of advice, inspiration, or even just something they can take with them from this conversation going forward?
Consistency.
Yep.
Yeah. One word.
Yeah, let's stick it to one word.
Oh, yeah, consistency
it.
Then.
Yeah. Two words would be championship mindset.
Okay, I'll allow it. Surprise it from a United
drive.
Fan, but I'll allow
there
it.
There you go, I'd say drive. drivers.
Can okay. I like double nice. Barrel? It'll yeah, say on. Monday meeting mentality. You know, that Good can words. Probably encompass the whole lore of our Monday meetings, which yeah. is, you know, get to that point of Monday meetings, mm-hmm. meet up, like take stock, look at where you are, look at where you're going, look at what you need yeah. to, where the gap is, and just keep doing that every single week, and you'll get 1% better each time, and no matter how long it takes, with consistency,
yeah.
that grit, that tenacity,
that
you'll
drive.
Get there. A drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Championship mindset. You'll get there. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Obviously, there's going to be hard times. Just keep driving forward. And yeah, and like JK said, we're not even there yet. We've not even started.
Yeah, we're still there. But sorry, I know you asked for one, but the only other thing would be, yeah, don't focus on the numbers. Yes. When you've got a passion for these things, mm-hmm. it's really that, you know, just follow your passion, do what you love, and make sure that's your drive. And it's not the numbers
yes.
and mm-hmm. it's not the money. That would all come in yes. its own time.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's one thing. That's
right. Sure. Time's getting on. We've got yep. a pay-per-view coming up. Thank you very much, guys. And I will see you at our next Monday meeting.
Right.